Good evening, folks. Jamie Kennedy here. Hate to break it to you. No, that's not a jar of raw honey. It's tea, but I use it as a glass. Because I got good glasses, reuse them. I'm almost at 95,000 subs, trying to get to that 100,000. I'm trying to get my first plaque. That's how desperate we are. Not that I want to do it. Like, not that I need to do it, but I want to do it. Like, it makes me feel good. I have no desire to do traditional media. I mean, obviously, if something came along that was amazing, I would definitely fight for it. But, like, there's been shows this year that you know that I didn't care if I didn't audition. I didn't. Like, I had an audition. It was too much work. I'm like, audition, just offer to me. And they're like, no, you have to audition. So I was like, fuck it. You know, I can name a couple of them. I've got a few movies in the can. Obviously, they're independent, you know. But I'm all about if people see shit. I don't want to do something if they don't see it. So I'd much rather just build up my own thing than just do it. And I have no desire even to make a movie right now. Again, unless it's amazing. Like, to go and try to make my own movie and finance it, it's a pain in the ass. But I have two scripts I like. Why am I telling you this? It's because I just enjoy doing my own thing. And I also don't think we can just use content anymore to escape. I think people want the truth. I think they want to look at things. I think there's a lot of, you know, you can't just sit and watch stuff. How can people just be like, oh my God. Like, when people are like, what's your favorite show? What do you want? Who, A, has the time, and B, who is that asleep? Like, I get it. Some shows are going to penetrate. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, White Lotus is supposed to be incredible. I haven't seen one episode. I want to watch it. I still got to watch Euphoria. I still got to watch The Last of Us. So I'm into it when it's amazing content. But with all that's going on in the world, I don't know how people can just make a steady diet of escapism. Which brings me to my first thing I'm reacting to. Virginia Guffrey has just died of screwicide. Yeah, right. It's exactly what I'm saying. The number one accuser, the number one witness on the Epstein list, just died by suicide. This was after being fucking mauled by a bus at 110 kilometers, which is about 68 miles an hour, minding her business in a car, and a fucking bus rammed her up. Look at the picture. She Instagrammed from the hospital, looked like a corpse, said she's got 4 days to live, somehow beat that, but we didn't hear from her. They said, oh my God, she had a miraculous recovery. She wasn't hurt that bad, which she looked like she was. And now, about 4 hours ago, she died by suicide. But yet I have a tweet here that says, Virginia Guffrey, she tweeted this a couple years ago. I'm making it publicly known that I am in no way, shape, or form suicidal. I have made this known to my therapist and GP. If something happens to me and the sake of my family, do not let this go away and help to protect them. Too many evil people want to see me quieted. But here we are, the number one story on Twitter. Maybe it's my Twitter, even though I'm not a huge sports head, but I do like it to escape. Is Shedeur Sanders still not being drafted? Which is a big story because he's so talented and who his father is. People would much rather pay attention to escapism than they will this. What else do you need to know? The number one accuser, the number one victim, the number one girl, woman, the number one mouthpiece, dies by suicide after a bus says she's not suicidal. What else do you need to know? She was murked. And yet people will just go along talking about prize picks, talking about sports, because they don't want to get involved. And the reason why this shit happens is because people do escape. They want to live an unbothered life. But after COVID and the awakening that has come through me, I was already awake. I just didn't speak. But I didn't think everything was corrupt. I thought there was still some not corrupt situations. And now, realizing that everything is corrupt, and quite frankly, there's dirt. Just filthy dirt everywhere. And the most outlandish alternative theories, conspiracies, are true. They're true. And I'm out here ranting to the far corners of the internet because I feel compelled to. And people are like, Jamie, why do you talk about this? Don't talk about this. How can you not talk about it? Like, you have to talk about it. We must expose evil. I don't know why I have taken this route, but I just don't think it's right. And I don't know how everyone can just keep going about their life when horrific events happen or things that are clearly, clearly a cover-up and people just go about their day. They got a bridal shower. Oh, it's the NBA playoffs. There's always a distraction. Do you ever think about that? Every sport is lined up to the day. They do not give you a day. They give you maybe one day. And if that is not working, then they fill you with a new sport. Or a festival or an award show. I'm just a willing participant who now has stepped aside and went, wait a minute. I was awoken and then I started looking at the system in which I was a part of and thrived in. And you strip away the booze, and you strip away the bad food, and you strip away the being dehydrated, and you put the right vitamins in your body, and you do this stuff, and you start, oh my God, clearer, clearer, just the lenses just keep getting wiped, and you're literally, and eventually you're Roddy Piper, God rest his soul, in They Live. And you're like, oh my God, I don't even need the fucking glasses. That shit is clear through my own eyeballs. I think there's a lot of people that want the truth in this world, and I think we're finding it out. And I don't know how anyone can still poof-poof or pshaw people's wild theories. Here it is. Right there. This woman was just murdered. Why would the fuck would she commit suicide? So if that is real, and you believe that she didn't, then you believe it's a cover-up. And if you believe it's a cover-up, you have to wonder who covered it up and why. What do they not want exposed? And all those things on the internet maybe coming to light. So here she is. She seemed like an honest person. You can say everything's theater, which it is, but is this theater? There is a woman who doesn't believe anything, and I did her pod, and I should have her on my pod. I don't think she believes anything. I think she thinks this is a distraction, another psyop, and that she went into witness protection. But I don't know why. The bottom line is, you can't call anyone a conspiracy theorist anymore. Okay? You can't. Because the number one witness in the Epstein case, after being attacked by a bus, is now suicide. Let's hope she didn't get caught up in the soul trap. That's where I'm at. Like, that's my Twitter now, my TikTok. I'm on Soul Trap TikTok. Look it up. Prison Planet TikTok, which I've been aware of a while, but it's pretty fascinating. One second. You tell me. And you're saying, Jamie, why do you have an Epstein mask? Because it was given to me by the government to help distract. Because I'm like that. I have all types of shit you don't know. I'm so sore from working out. I just cannot believe that the streets aren't filled with blood. Because how else? What? Epstein's dead. Probably, maybe. Ghislaine is in a Connecticut jail, and this chick just killed herself. Now, let me ask you a question. If you've been sex trafficked to 500 very high, powerful men, and you, when you were fucking 17 or 16 or however old she was, and then you went through hell, and you come out the other side in your late 30s, early 40s, do you wait after years of therapy, government, talking, all the stuff? Do you wait 23 years and just go, I'm going to kill myself? Or do you kill yourself when you're in the thick of the hell? Come on, man. This is the New York Post. Take that one. She's 41. Said she had a lifelong victim of sex abuse and sex trafficking. Horrific. So she got fed up. She lived in Perth. I thought she was American. She was on the farthest corners of the net. Shit, man. In a way, that's smart. In a way, you would see my ass camped up at a Panera on 42nd Street. Like, you can never be out of the limelight there. The death, early indication is the death is not suspicious, the BBC reported. Of course you said that. The BBC literally named in the case. Oh God, she worked at Mar-a-Lago. She was struck by a bus, had 4 days to live. The bus driver said it was blown out of proportion, and the bus carrying 29 children merely clipped the Toyota Highlander being driven by a 70-year-old woman with Guffrey in the passenger seat. The driver pulled out in front of me and made sure she was all right. It didn't even notice a passenger was in the car. She also said she had years of physical abuse by her ex-husband, Robert, after 22 years. Come on, man. Come on, man. I shouldn't even talk about it, but like, everybody has to go with their instinct. We have the ability to go with our instinct. There's a place in LA, and it's new, and it's called Tallow Organic. And it's the way things should be. And then there's this other company doing fluoride-free toothpaste. Because right there, they say, is your pineal gland and your third eye. And they said that fluoride calcifies it, hardens it, which makes you not the ability to do the transmitting of your sixth sense, your instinct of it, like blocks the receptors, if that's an antenna. So if we can all be aware and rise to our fullest potential, and people don't want that. They want us young, dumb, and full of you know what. It's just all of it makes just so much sense to me. It's like, just be a meat bag, a slave to the system. Don't think. Build up this planet until AI hits critical mass. And then we got a lot of meat bags we got to figure out. But the pineal gland, this is medical. You can look it up. It exists. And everything that they do to calcify these different things, the booze, the nicotine. And nicotine's actually not bad. It's the smoke that's bad. I've been reading about this. All I'm saying is all this stuff is to dumb you down and numb you down. Dumb you. They want to dumb you and numb you and turn you in to a bum, yeah? Please, let's put that on a shirt. Just came up with it right here, inert, from the earth. They want to numb ya to make ya dumb ya and turn ya in to a bum, yeah? But if this is not a clear case of fucking cuckoo-ness being true, I don't know what to tell you. I'm angrier than I am, but I'm tired. I've been working hard. I didn't even see this clip, but I'm going to react to it because it looks bomb.
Men are not selecting Tracy Ellis Ross's. Not for marriage. She can still get it. There are a lot of guys who would slay that easy. Would have no problem even being seen with her in public. But would a man that she wants do it? Let's imagine the man that Tracy Ellis Ross would get. Chances are he would be younger.
I don't care. I'm not trying to start beef with Diana Ross's kid. This is interesting.
Do they talk about how it happens?
How does one get possessed?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course. 100%. And the two biggest ways are dabbling in the occult. And
what does that mean?
Playing with demonic things, Ouija boards, going to a psychic, tarot cards, or actual occult worship of the devil.
Oh, this Ouija board I've been hearing all the time. Do not fuck with a Ouija board. Just don't. Tarot cards, I did not hear. Psychics? That's new to me. But people that can read your chart, are they bad? I've had a couple of chart girls come up to me recently. Now watch this next part, because this is wild.
Pretty much immediate open doors that you're going to have demons come right in.
Psychic.
So open doors. This is portal talk. Whatever they're doing, it fucking makes a slit within our five sense dimension, and this thing is a bridge to that, if you believe it. That's what he's saying.
Or demonic.
Yeah, they're not channeling your dead relatives.
Watch this part. This is crazy.
Yeah, they're not channeling. Come right in.
Psychics are demonic.
Yeah, they're not channeling your dead relatives. So right now, we have at least three guardian angels in the room. There's also probably demons in this room, and they're listening, and they hear every bit of what we're saying.
Three guardian angels right here. Help me. There's also demons. Get them.
Excuse me. And when somebody says, well, the psychic told me my mother shared this with me when I was 10, and nobody ever knew that but us. So it has to be my mom. except for the demons in the room who also heard it. And now they're impersonating your mother. If your mother's in heaven, she's having a good day. She doesn't want to come back and visit you, as much as mothers love their children. If she's in purgatory, she needs our prayers to get her moved into heaven. And if she's in hell, there's no getting out.
Do they talk about hell?
That last part was really aggressive. Oh, God. If she's in hell, there's no getting out. Oh, gosh. I've been watching certain stuff on TikTok that's saying that heaven and hell is all a work to keep us fear-based. I don't know, but that was aggressive. Purgatory, there's a chance. Heaven sounds great. Hell.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Listen, that's what's crazy. These demons, if you believe in demons, I'm literally becoming Randy Meeks. If they're in the room, they're the ultimate jesters, jokesters, and they can become. And you've seen that in movies, how they do that. Damn, psychics are getting a bad rap. Well, that was a priest, but he was a hardcore priest. Scariest movie ever is The Exorcist. Is it quantum immortality? If it's quantum immortality, then you go to another dimension. You don't go to these other places, he's saying, or you go to those places, or do you come back as a fucking apricot seed? What's the truth here? Watch this one.
So Luke's got a question.
What do you got a question?
I have a question. Are y'all?
By the way, Laura Logan. Hello.
The photograph called The Wink.
I'm not. This is the first I've heard of it.
Okay, well, it's a famous photo that, you know, I've known since hearing, and I was very interested, watched JFK when it, assassination. What was the movie? Sorry. Oliver Stone, JFK.
Yeah. I'm thinking, does he mean JFK?
Yeah, but, LBJ's involvement and all that, there was this photo that has kind of resurfaced since the files come out, called The Wink, nicknamed The Wink, but it's Albert Thomas, who was rep back then, was also good friends with him, and it's upon his being sworn in 3 or 4 hours after JFK's assassination on Air Force One, and he smiles back at Albert Thomas, and Thomas looks back and winks at him, and this photo was caught.
So this is the photo of the wink?
That is the wink, and Jackie O is literally covered in the president's blood, her husband's blood, and he smiles at the other angle. Is
that Lady Bird there next to Lyndon?
That's Lady Bird.
Now that's crazy. This is the first I ever heard of that. Jackie O, every picture I always saw, she was just in shock, catatonic. I don't even know. I think she was in her 20s. She was so young, and she's just this beautiful princess who just has no idea. God, what a shock to the system this poor woman went through. What a terrible, what a life. What a hard life. What trauma. And her son. Oh. The sister has to have seen everything. She's got to be living every day. Trauma. Ooh. And then, now he could have had something in his eye. Lyndon, you know, there's always been smoke around him. It does look like he's smiling. Lady Bird's like, but maybe like some people are like, don't know how to react. And they just like, this is crazy. Or she just was like fucking passing gas. And she's like, I don't know. She looked wigged out. That's crazy. The wink. Look at the wink. You know. I should take that one, but I'm not going to. Pussy. I should talk about people in the business that I know, but I'm a pussy. Pussy. Pretty interesting on this one.
How would you keep people as far away from God as possible without them realizing it?
Well, if I were the devil, I'd start by corrupting mainstream religion, turning it into a tool for control, hypocrisy, and division. I twist sacred teachings into rules that breed judgment and fear, driving people away from faith and making them question the authenticity of God's message.
Fear.
I divide believers against one another, creating conflict within their own community so they'd focus on fighting each other rather than seeking unity or truth. I then create distractions that seem harmless but consume their attention, pulling them away from spiritual growth. I promote materialism, convincing them that happiness comes from possessions. I'd encourage a culture of busyness, leaving little time for reflection or connection with the divine. And finally, I'd ensure that doubt and fear overshadow faith.
Doing a pretty good job. Again, I don't know what I believe sometimes. I don't know what you believe. Doing a pretty good job. A lot of those are right there. I'm saying.
Can anyone explain to me what I'm supposed to do if I just don't want to do anything anymore? I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to scroll on TikTok. I don't want to make videos. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to go anywhere. Like, what do you do? I don't even want to sleep. I don't want to watch TV. I don't want to play Nintendo. I don't want to, like, look for something. I don't want to research anything. I don't want to watch anything. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to walk anywhere. I don't want to buy anything. Like, asking for a friend, of course. Like, what does one do when you're just done with everything? When you're just so fed up with everything? All the media, all the apps, everything. There's just, like, you're just done with it all. Like, what do you do now? Does anyone have, like, a home in the middle of the jungle or at the top of a mountain somewhere where I can just go and grow vegetables or something? I think that's probably the only thing that I'd probably want to do. Am I the only one?
That's real. That guy's a great truther. He usually has a mustache. I can relate. When you just discover that not just some things are a lie, not that a lot of things are a lie, but when everything is a lie. And the deeper you go down the rabbit hole, the more you lose faith in the system of belief of what you believe and what is true. Or what you thought was true. It's a really devastating thing to go through because what, you know, I have my own version of that right now. Is it depression? Maybe a little bit. It's just disillusionment, really. This guy's always putting out stuff and he's been great. I follow a lot of him during COVID and I still follow him. This comment says it all. Once you're so awake, it's hard to live in the fake world. I understand. I'm trying to figure it out too. Everything seems pointless. Bro, I'm there. That's me. No magic. Talk to Jesus. Yeah, I mean, basically all this is like we're hitting like a five-prong system that's going to affect a ton of people. I've been watching tons of videos about it throughout the years, and now it's happening. There was a guy that worked for me, and he said something so brilliant. It lives in my head so rent-free. It was an amazing statement. It was just one little simple statement, and I'll never forget it. And he said, human beings were not meant to consume so much information. And the information age, the information overload, from checking your Twitter to other people's retweets of it, to your DMs of it, to then your DMs and your Instagram, to your posts, to your comments, your Facebook. I'm on 7 platforms. Why? Because of relevancy, message, growth of my online pod, shows, movies, promotion. Part of it, very little of it is social. It's workle media. And man, this guy, he's right. And with the rise of automation, with the rise of AI, you know, you don't have to do so many tasks anymore. You can just do from your thumb. But he's even saying he doesn't want to scroll anymore. I get it. It's like me. I'm like trying to figure out my next place I'm going to live. And I'm like, I don't even care. Like, I want somewhere where I can do whatever I can do for the right. I want the best vibe. I would say right now for him, I feel my most important thing is this, you know, having safety within my life, which I think I have. Of, you know, you want to make sure you have enough to survive, and you're, whatever you're doing, whether you have a job or you don't have to have a job, or you have a thing that you do that supports you, I think you have to take care of yourself financially. I think you have to cut your overhead. I think you have to take care of yourself physically. And, you know, do some type of physical activities, get in the sun, all these different things, which I never really did. But you are happier in the sun. It's hard to be depressed in the sun. It's hard to be depressed when you're taking a nice walk. And you don't have to sit there and stop and go and deliver something in your car and miss the walk, because you can just do everything from your phone. There, you can multitask if you don't want to stop working. And then there's so much talk and communication on the internet. You can find good recipes and how to eat well. I think my thing for me, all those things apply, but really it's about a sense of, you have to have a sense of purpose, which I've had my, you know, since I've been 15 years old. For 40 years, is my purpose changing? Maybe. A lot of people are telling me, you have to keep being a voice of reason, use it, your comedy, and slowly, you know, and inform people. And I like that. Part of me wants to get a place big enough where I can have a room with 100 chairs and do a show every once or two weeks and call it Conspiracy Club and just have talks. Wouldn't that be interesting? But I think for me, you know, I have a lot of sense of purpose and stuff, although I'm questioning now what's my new purpose, because, you know, I'm evolving. I think the biggest thing is sense of community. You have to find like-minded individuals that feel like you, so you don't feel alienated. And I go through that myself. And every time when I've thrived in the world, I've had a sense of community, and we were all working towards the same goal, and it was great. And I think there's a lot of people out there that feel like you, my man, and I can relate. I'm not saying I'm going to fucking doom and gloom, but a sense of community. Obviously have a sense of purpose, but I assume you do. If you don't, what's your purpose? What's your community? That's everything. That's why it's hard for me to leave LA, because it's my community. I don't want to leave LA. Like, I saw this amazing house in Iowa, insane house. It would be $20 million. But I would have to be there for like a month and then do a bunch of content and leave, because I couldn't just be in Iowa. But I understand how Iowa is great. You know what I mean? It's a sense of community. It's a big thing.
Seth, do you kind of laugh at some people who are still holding on to the notion that Hollywood hasn't changed and people still should go to movies and all? I mean, the ship has sailed, has it not?
That's always been a thought that Hollywood has, you know? In, like, the 50s, people were like, Hollywood's dead.
Yeah.
The magic of Hollywood, dead. I think, is one movie, one weekend can change the entire outlook of the entire industry. You know,
like
what I
mean? Like the Barbie movie.
Well, or, honestly, yeah. And that changed the whole show. Like, the show was much more bleak as we were writing it initially. And then the Barbie Oppenheimer thing happened. And we were like, everything's different. Literally, like, on Friday it was impossible, and on Monday it was possible. And right. And that is, I think, also, like, what's so frustrating about Hollywood and what is alluring about these delusions of grandeur, especially if you run a movie studio, is that you think you might be the person to course correct all of the Hollywood. And what's also funny about that is singular people have done that. Like, it's an industry where you can, like, very easily root entire new directions to one person. Like, Robert Evans changed the course of Hollywood. James Cameron changed the course of Hollywood. Ted Sarandos changed the course of Hollywood. Greta Gerwig changed the course of Hollywood. Christopher Nolan changed the course of Hollywood. And it happens all the time. And so you see how, I don't think I could do this, but if you were somewhat willing to buy more into the delusions of grandeur of all of it, you could view yourself as the person who single-handedly saves Hollywood, you know? And that allure is real, you know? And very frustrating, I think, to a lot of people who are then put in a position where, like, they have to choose between, do I take the swing that will maybe save Hollywood, or do I not get fired? And often they choose not get fired.
You know, that's a very good take. Very smart take. No matter what his career is, that take is just a great take. Now, he's had a super successful career. He's a self-starter and never got jobs until he created them, and he kept creating them. I will say, he's always been able to sell stuff. You know, I've had some very good ideas, and I've made them, and I've had other good ideas, and they can never get them made, and I just get frustrated. So, I mean, he's very successful, so he deserves to keep selling and making stuff. You know, I think he's got a lot of advocates in the business. I annoyed people. They didn't look at me. They looked at me more as goofy. I don't know. But that doesn't mean anything with that take, because that take is right on. The only difference I'm going to say is that we've never had an existential crises. I mean, there's a guy that says AI could end all disease in 5 years. We've never had that. We're at the end of the road here in terms of, like, literally they're going to be piping movies into your brain. They're already kind of in our minds, right? So, sure, you go to the movies, you can go to amusement parks, you can do that stuff, but we are at the plateau of content. I don't think it's a new, like, oh, we're going to get in DVDs now, or, ooh, basic cable's making original programming, or the tentpole is now taking over. It's more like, we did it. We beat the game, and now the game could beat us. Like, we're not, the technology we have is what we have. Sure, can you keep making stuff? Sure. But, you know, what do they say? Like, 80% of kids or youth under, you know, 25 identify more with TikTokers and Snapchat stars and, you know, Instagram than they do Hollywood people. So that's only just going to get more and more pushed to the side, and it'll just be another window. It'll be, you know, you got your Snapchat, your TikTok, your Instagram, your Facebook, your subreddit, your X, your Threads, your Rumbles, your Truth Socials. There's all your promotion platforms, and then your Patreon, and then, oh, cool, you're in a movie. Cool. Oh, you're doing a spot on TV show? Cool. Like, to me, you do it all. But I'm not saying being on an HBO is more, I think it's amazing for the business. I think that it's amazing for the people that give you jobs in the business. It's amazing if you want to win an award. But if you don't need it to make money, you don't need it to make relevance, you need it to make legacy forever. I agree. Being on the White Lotus is much more important to me than having a TikTok that goes viral. You want to be a part of, you know, once upon a time in Hollywood. You don't want to just be a person that just has viral moments. You want your good stuff to go viral, to bring attention to your good stuff. So I think that's totally true. I think that was a great take. But it isn't as special as it was, for sure, in my opinion. This is crazy. I say that about all of them, but it really is.
Kash Patel, and I don't understand this story at all, but apparently the top 10 FBI's most wanted during the entire Biden era, I think zero were arrested. Zero of the top 10. How many of them do you think that Kash Patel has already caught of the top 10 most wanted? All 10. What? What were they doing? It's the top 10.
How come no one's talking about this?
He caught all top 10 in, what, just weeks?
How come no one's talking about it?
Are you telling me that wasn't possible before? Well, I don't even understand. How is this even remotely possible that Biden's administration got zero and then Cash in a few weeks got all 10? What?
We could clean up a lot of messes if we wanted to. That's crazy. Think about that. Look it up. It's true. And have you even heard about it? No. Where is the story? I'll tell you what is a story. A man at the YMCA exposing himself to a 7-year-old girl, saying that he identifies as a woman, and people saying that his rights are being infringed upon. That is a story on mainstream media, but Kash Patel is not. Guys, I don't know what to tell you. Give me some damn views. You like me. I like you. Is the algorithm screwing me? I love you. Subscribe, like, go to my website, jamiecannon.com. My tour's on there. Go watch, listen to Jeff Lewis. I'm usually on once a week. Hopefully Funny You Should Ask is coming back this summer. Peace.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.